God bless you this morning, today. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. The living God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Every word. When you spend time with God, the words of the scriptures mean so much. And sometimes just one word can be so impactful. It can be so, help you to understand the meaning and what he's saying. It's so wonderful. And today, oh my goodness, beloved, Holy Ghost of heaven and earth. Oh, you're going to get a blessing if you've got ears to hear. The Lord woke me up this morning and I kept hearing, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit do groan inwardly, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, waiting to be delivered from these bodies of death. It's basically what he's talking about there. In Romans, and I start meditating on this scripture because I kept hearing the Lord speaking it to me. And so I'm breaking it down in Greek and just noticed, I've noticed before that spirit, when it says we have the first fruits of the Spirit, if you look that word, it's pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. And it literally means breath. We use the word pneumonia. It's the same word with an N-A on the end. And I looked up the origin of the word pneumonia, and it comes from this Greek word, of course, because pneumon, with just an N on the end, means lung. That's what the Greek word for lung is, pneumon. But pneuma, without the end, just means breath. And that is the word that's used for the Spirit. So the Bible says that we have the first fruits of the breath. And really what he's talking about is the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. Now that won't mean anything until you really begin to, oh my goodness, beloved, in Jesus' name, may God give us the grace to have ears to hear. Oh Lord, I'm going to show you some things here that are just mind-blowing. So the word said we have the first fruits of the breath of God, of the Spirit, of the pneuma of God. And then I remembered, as I was meditating on that, just about a year ago or 2 years ago, recently, the Lord really emphasized the meaning of psuche. It's a totally different Greek word. I was studying where the Bible talks about if you do not hate your own life, then you cannot be his disciple. If you don't hate your own life, you cannot have his life, is really what he's saying there. But when I looked up the word for hate your life, it's the word psuche. We would say psyche is the transliteration. But if you look that up in Greek, amazingly, it means breath. But it's a totally different word for breath. It's like in English, you have different words that mean the same thing in a little bit different way. And psuche, if a man doesn't hate his own life, same word where it says if a man loves his life, he will lose it. If a man loves his psuche, he will lose it. But this word psuche is also breath, but it's different. It's not even similar to the word pneuma. It's a totally different word that has a similar meaning. And I remember about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where I was meditating on that, and the Holy Spirit showed me, until I hate my own breath, I cannot have the life of Jesus. That's what he was saying. When Jesus comes, he says, I've come that you might have life. And if you look that word up, that Zoe, that's not psuche. It's not the word for life when it's talking about man's life. It's a different word for life. It's Zoe. And every time you see the word Zoe in the Greek in the New Testament, it's always talking about the eternal life, God's life, totally different than ours. But watch how amazing this is and how deep this gets. It's so mind-boggling. So the word says if we don't hate our own breath, our own psuche, we cannot be his disciple. The word says if we love our breath, then we will lose it. Oh my goodness. But if we despise it for the sake of gaining Christ, then we will gain eternal life. And that word, perpetual zoe, it's an exchange. It is an exchange. You exchange the breath that Adam gave you for the life that God wants to give you. But if you want the breath Adam gave you, you can't have the life God wants to give you. Now watch, this is so powerful. The Bible says in Romans, we have the first fruits of the breath of God. That's the Spirit of God. The word pneuma. We have the first fruits, but we do not have the fullness of the breath of God. Why? Because the breath of God is in our spirit. If we are born again, what that means is God has breathed into our spirit his own breath. That is inside of our spirit. That's where the kingdom of God is. It's in the breath of God. The breath of God is inside of your spirit. But the breath of Adam is inside of your flesh. It's your natural man. And so when the true gospel message is an exchange. If you don't hate the life, the breath you got from Adam, you can't have the breath of God. And I went back in the Old Testament because I was remembering how God breathed life into Adam. So I went back, and of course the Old Testament's in Hebrew. It's not in Greek. It's all different words. But if you look at the chapter 2 of Genesis, where the Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into man, just a few verses later, he talks about the tree of life. And when you look up these two words, life, where God breathed life into them in Hebrew, and then the tree of life, they're the same word. And so in the beginning, watch this, when God created Adam and Eve, God breathed into them. That was their life source. The breath that they had was God's breath. It was God's breath. They never had psuche. They never had their own breath until they took of the other tree, and then they were cut off. But watch this. They were cut off from the breath of God. We say they're cut off from the tree of life, but really what they are cut off from, of course it's the tree of life, but it's the tree of breath. What Adam and Eve lost is the breath of God. They gained an independent breath, an independent life that's not God's life. And when they gained that, they were cut off from the breath of God. Now the Bible says in Romans, we who are born of God, we have the first fruits of the breath of God. What it means is you've got a taste of what that tree of life is. It's in your spirit. It's buried. It's planted in your spirit, the breath of God. You don't have the fullness like Adam did in the beginning yet. It belongs to us, but we're not fully experiencing yet. It's not fully manifesting. This is what Romans says. It's not my idea. I'm not interpreting it. It's what Romans says. We have the first fruits of the breath. We don't have the full thing. We're looking forward to being redeemed from these bodies. What is he really saying? We've got the first fruits of God's breath, and we are longing to be delivered completely from the psuche, from the breath that Adam gave us. But here's where it really got deep when the Holy Ghost was showing this to me. Whenever I looked up pneuma, and I looked up the origin of pneumonia, because I realized they're the same word, and I found out they're the pneumon, the lung, all of a sudden I realized what COVID was. COVID was clearly a judgment. And now, obviously, the devil is the one that does these things, but God is the one that has to give permission. It was a judgment. What was it a judgment against? It was a judgment against Adam's breath. The final judgment will be the annihilation of Adam's breath. It will not be allowed to breathe anymore in God's creation. And that is what COVID was. COVID was just a warning. It was a taste of what's coming. It affected the respiratory system of Adam. And what happened to people was they couldn't breathe. They didn't get enough oxygen. Their respiratory system was compromised. They could not get enough oxygen. One of my best friends went to the hospital because they couldn't get his oxygen levels up, and he died of a heart attack while he was there. Why did he have a heart attack? Because he couldn't breathe. His body wasn't getting enough oxygen. COVID was an attack on the psyche of man. It was a judgment on the breath of man. And it stopped a whole lot of it, but it didn't stop all of it. It just stopped a little tiny portion of it. But it's a forewarning that God will judge the breath of man. It will cease. God will not allow the breath of the first Adam in his creation. And beloved, if we love the life that Adam gave us, if we want to preserve it, if we want to hold on to it in any way, I'm not talking about drinking and smoking. This is where Christians are way completely in the dark, almost all of them. They think that God is calling us out of a drinking life, that God is calling us out of a cussing life, and that if we live for him and follow his principles and stuff, that this is, what God wants. Friend, God is not calling you out of a drinking life. He's calling you out of the life of Adam, period. When Jesus came, he didn't tell the drunkard, if you don't hate your life, though it applied to the drunkard. But if you go look at Jesus saying it, he wasn't talking to the drunkard. He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law and the Jews who believed in God. He told them, if you don't hate your own life. Now, these were guys who were praying and fasting and living for God. They weren't doing anything that the heathen do at all. Saul of Tarsus wasn't doing a single thing wrong on the outside at all. But Jesus was telling him, all of them, if you don't hate your life. Because even if this is something God showed me over the last 5 years, it's just rattled me tremendously because I thought I was, on the way to heaven. I thought I was good and I thought I was, really living for God, and he was pleased with my life. And then when the Lord began to show me the real message of the cross in a deeper way, it was devastating at first to understand why I had to die, why I have to reject and hate my own breath. And the Lord will use troubles and trials to get us to the place where we hate our breath. We don't want to breathe anymore. And we think that's the devil. Of course, the devil's the one doing the dirty deed. But it's God working through it to get us to a place where we hate our breath, because the judgment of God is coming against all the breath of the first Adam. It's the second death. Adam's no longer allowed to breathe. And even in the pit, I don't believe Adam will be able to get enough oxygen. And that's just a sign of something. But God will judge the breath of man. And if we want it, we will perish. We will be judged by God. So it's just a precursor. And here's the best thing that I got this morning as I was listening to God, and he was talking to me about the breath. This is why over the last week or so, the Lord's really been talking to me about being still. I was studying Thessalonians. I actually did a devotion, but it got cut off somehow, and so I didn't send it. But in 1 Thessalonians, I think that's chapter 4. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, he tells us to study to be quiet. And if you look up these Greek words, the word study is to labor intensively, and the word quiet is be still. So really in Greek, it says, work very hard to be still. Labor intensively to be still. And I remember the scripture, be still and know that I am God. What is God telling us? God is saying, stop moving, stop breathing, stop trying to produce something, and let my breath breathe in you. Let me breathe. Let me flow. And this is something that you can't learn how to do in 1 second. It's something that God has to teach us over time, how to yield, how to believe in the breath. And oh my goodness, I started seeing it's so powerful, man, because his breath is here. As a matter of fact, what it means to believe in the one that he sent, it means to believe the breath is here. It means to believe that the breath The tree of life is here. Oh my God, beloved, I hope you can connect this in your spirit. It's amazing. It means to believe that the breath is here for the taking. It is here for us to participate in, to partake of. The breath of God that Adam lost. Adam lost the tree of breath, the breath of God. But now we have the first fruits of the breath. It's been given back to us, but we don't have the fullness manifesting yet. So Jesus says, pray for the kingdom to manifest. What is he saying? Pray for the breath of God that's inside of your spirit to fully be manifest, and for your breath to cease to become less and less. When John saw Jesus said, I must decrease, actually his disciples were saying, should we stop them from baptizing? And John the Baptist says, I must decrease, but he must increase. What was that? It was John saying, the breath I got from my Father must cease. It must weaken. It must get less and less. And the breath that comes from the Heavenly Father must increase more and more until the only thing flowing is the breath of the Almighty. And my breath is no longer flowing. Friend, that will never happen. You cannot be saved until you hate your breath. You can't. I'm telling you the truth, friend. A lot of people don't want to hear this, especially Christians. Amazing. I talk to a homeless person or so, they love it. I talk to people in prison, many of them love it. But you talk to Christians and they're like, that's crazy. They don't understand none of it. You know, most of them, they just don't want it. Why? Because they're wanting to hold on to their own life. And so it's easier just to die. It doesn't make any sense. Why? Because they don't want to die. They don't want to give up their breath. This is why they're going to church to hear how much God loves their breath. Oh my God, we have no idea what we're doing. We even go to church and worship God with our breath. And it's there's no value in it. It's unbelievable when you begin to see it. That's why Isaiah said all of our righteousness is like used menstrual cloths. If you, even when you worship God with your own breath, it's polluted and it stinks and it's not good and God doesn't accept it. And that sounds harsh and it sounds mean and everybody thinks God is this sweet Santa Claus in the sky. But friend, he doesn't accept our breath. He will never, ever approve of our breath. You can never come to God with your breath and he say, oh, thank you. I'm so appreciate that. I love you so much. I want to bless your breath. No, friend, he didn't come here to bless your breath. He came here to put an end to it. He came here so you would stop breathing, not so that you would breathe better. When the Bible says that I've come that you might have life, it's not the word suke. It's not the word for breath. It's zoe. It's the life of God, which is the same thing as the pneuma, the spirit of God, the breath of God. So Jesus didn't come so that you could have more of your breath. Jesus came so that he could deliver you from your breath and give you God's. Now, when the Lord really began to talk to me this morning about this and the Holy Ghost came on me and that stillness was there, I really understood, and I pray God help me to hold on to this understanding. I really understood what it means to wait on the Lord, what it means to stop moving and wait on the Lord. What it really means is to believe the breath is here. The breath is here and the breath can do the work. The breath is the only one that's righteous. The breath is the breath of God, the pneuma, the Holy Spirit of God. I walk after the breath. I believe in the breath. God has sent me the tree of life in the Holy Spirit. He has sent me the breath of God that Adam had in the beginning. But I only have the first fruits of it. But I've got, because I still have the suke, because I still have the breath of the first Adam, I've got to learn to yield to believe in, to wait on the breath of God, because it won't be automatic like my suke is. The breath of God's not automatic. Breathing is involuntary. My wife and I were talking about this as I was sharing the word with her after I come out of the closet here, and oh my God, she was just, I mean, it's amazing. It's unbelievable when you begin to see it and understand it. But the God, to wait upon the Lord is to yield to the breath of God. It's to let the Spirit flow. But that won't happen unless you know the truth and you deny your own breath. For God's breath to flow, you have to hate yours. for God's breath to flow, you have to deny yours. It doesn't mean you sit there and hold your breath. I just pictured that. Oh, Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean you sit there and hold your breath until you turn blue. What it means is, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you begin to despise your breath. And what that does, it causes you to quit trying to use it to accomplish something for God or to live. You don't want to live anymore. This is what Paul said. We despised life. We didn't want to live anymore. And this happened so that we wouldn't trust in ourself, in our breath, in the life we got from Adam, but that we would trust in the one who raises the dead, the one who breathes on the dead, and they live again. And so what God is after is for us to reject the breath we got from Adam, because it came from the wrong tree, and for us to believe in the breath that comes from the last Adam, because it comes from the right tree. Now, up until Jesus died on the cross, we had no access to the pneuma of God. We had no access to the true breath of God. Now, the breath of God would come on people and touch people, but we couldn't become one with the breath of God. We couldn't get rid of the breath of Adam and enter into the breath of God. And this is what we're doing. This is a process. It's a journey. And the longer you live and walk with the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the pneuma of God, the more you'll understand the cross. And the more you reject the old man, the more you reject the breath that came from your father, your natural earthly father, and his father, all the way to Adam. The more you reject that, the more you can participate in the breath that comes from God. So, beloved, be still and know that He is God. When you face a situation, when you see unrighteousness, learn to get still. Learn to believe in the breath. And it's so different than trying to be good for God. If you do not know the truth, when you are sinning or when you're struggling or when you're being tempted, you're going to try to be good for God. You're not going to wait on the breath. You're going to try to do it. You're going to try to use your breath to satisfy God, which is what Isaiah was trying to teach us. Every time you use your breath to try to satisfy God, it doesn't, because your breath is polluted, to say the least. That's why it stinks, praise God. You got to brush your teeth and floss all the time because your breath stinks, praise the Lord. And it does stink. It stinks in God's nostrils too. But it's such an amazing revelation because, oh my goodness, how the burden that we carry as human beings is that our breath is bad. It really is. It's the burden we carry is that our life is not good. And it bothers us, and subconsciously we know it. And at times in our life, we try to be good for God. We try to do what God said to do. We feel guilt. We feel shame. We feel what we call conviction. A lot of it's not even conviction. It's just our own guilty conscience. And we're trying to produce something for God. And God is, the reason God gave us the law is to show you that with all the strength of your breath, you'll never be good. With all the efforts of your breath, you will never produce anything valuable that God wants. That's dark. That's just nasty. That's dark and terrible and depressing. It is. It's just the reality of the situation. That's what God sent the law for. It didn't come to bring about life. It came to produce death. It's the minister. The Bible calls the law the minister or the ministry of death and condemnation. That's what the law is. The law brings us into death and condemnation. How does it do that? It challenges our breath to produce something good. It says, seek me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What is he saying? Put forth all the efforts of your breath, and then you'll find out the truth. You'll find out that it's not good. And no matter how hard you try, you will never be good, and you will never do anything that is pure. So when you really begin to understand the cross, you're not trying to breathe for God anymore. You go into the baptismal pool to end your breath, and you come out believing in His, and you learn how to be still and to wait upon the Lord instead of trying to give God something You learn to believe in him and to believe in the one that he sent. What does God require of you? To believe in the one, to believe in the breath that he sent down from heaven, to believe in the life that comes from the breath of God, and to reject and to deny the life that came from the breath of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, beloved, it's so wonderful. So in Jesus' name, I bless you today, and I pray that God will give you grace. Oh, God will give us grace. Thank you, Lord, to be still and to know that he's God. And help us to learn to believe in the breath. Friend, it's here right now. It's with you right now. The breath of God is all you need. The breath of God is the righteousness of God. If you try to be righteous for God, you can't experience his righteousness. You can't submit to his righteousness. You can't believe in it and let it flow and yield to it as long as you don't understand it. This is what Romans 10 says, that the Jews did not obtain righteousness because they thought that righteousness was obtained by their effort, by trying to do something for God. And they didn't know about the righteousness of God. They didn't know about Christ. They didn't know about the breath of God. So they went about trying to establish righteousness as if it was by the law, as if it was by doing what God said to do. And God never told them to do those things so that they could please him. He told them to do those things to show them that none of them do. It's all of us, friend. This is what Romans is trying to show us. But if you don't walk with the Spirit, you'll never understand the deep things of the Spirit. You'll never learn how to yield and believe in the breath. It's so amazing because I love the breath of God. I love Jesus. I love the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, the Spirit of breath in Christ. Because I know God's not looking to Jeff to produce something. And God's not going to judge Jeff and put him in hell because he's not good enough. Oh, thank God for that. What God will do is reject every person who rejects the breath. But those who rejects his breath, I'm sorry. But all those who do not reject the breath of Adam, the first Adam, will perish. Why? Because, friend, it's corrupt. It cannot be in the kingdom. And so this is what the Lord is trying to show us. You know, whose breath do you want flowing through you? Do you want God's breath? For God's breath to flow, it's not us doing it. It's us believing and yielding. It's not producing something. It's being a conduit for him. It's letting his life live through us. His life flow through us. That's what we were created for. But oh, how difficult, how complicated it is in the natural mind to go from breathing for God or trying to breathe for God to stop breathing and let his life flow. That's so hard to do. The Lord kept showing me as he was trying to show me the true gospel. The drowning man. I've been preaching that for almost 30 years. The drowning man. Well, since 1995, actually, because that's when I remember he showed that to me. The drowning man will always fight to get up out of the water until he sucks in water and he can't breathe anymore. And then he stops flailing. And I remember the Lord showed me this in 1995. He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I learned that God was showing me. He said, you cannot produce it. It's me doing it. And I can't do it until you stop trying to do it. And he showed me how lifeguards are trained. At times, a lifeguard has, it sounds bad, but a lifeguard has to let somebody drown before they can save them. That's dark. That's terrible, but it's true. Often a lifeguard has to let somebody drown before they can save the person's life. They have to let them die first. It's amazing because what happens when a lifeguard tries to save somebody who's kicking and flailing and trying to survive, that person will drag the lifeguard down with them and they'll both die. So lifeguards at times, not all the time, but lifeguards at times, if the person is panicking, they just have to wait until the person drowns. They have to wait until the person breathes in water. Because once that person breathes in water and they can no longer breathe, they can't kick anymore. They can't fight anymore. They can't flail anymore. They become a wet noodle, just loose. And then the lifeguard can take them, while they're not breathing, they're not, I don't know about clinical death or however that works, but they're not breathing, but he can take them. You've got, I don't know how long, you've got a couple minutes until brain damage starts happening, but he can pull them off and start CPR. And what happens when he starts CPR is that liquid comes up out of their lungs, and then the person can start breathing again. I've seen it happen. It happened when I was a kid. God, oh God, he's always talking. We don't even know it. I was living in an apartment, and this kid drowned in the pool, and they dragged him up, and they were doing CPR, and all the liquid came out of his lungs. It's God speaking, always, always God is talking, always. And he showed me that you can't save a drowning man until he drowns, until he stops fighting to survive. And then you can breathe into him and give him life, but only when he stops fighting to survive. And the Lord was showing it, that's how it works in the spirit. And he was trying to tell me to stop flailing, stop trying to produce something, believe in the one that he sent, and understand the breath and wait on it and look for it. Oh, it's beautiful. Galatians 5 says this. It says it's not circumcision that counts. It's not what we do to the flesh that will bring true holiness or righteousness. It is waiting on the Spirit in faith, waiting on the breath of God to flow in faith. We look to the Spirit for the righteousness of God by faith, not circumcision, not trying to produce it, but we look to the Spirit through faith in what He accomplished at that cross. What are we looking for? We're looking for the breath of God to be manifest. Oh, praise the living God. God bless you today, beloved, in Jesus' name. Amen.